of John, chapter 10, if you would, please. Throughout the Word of God, we read words where the Lord speaks through the prophets. Our Lord moved in the hearts of men to write His Word down. And throughout that Word, our Lord speaks through those prophets regarding the hearing of men. And in all cases, mankind comes up very short. Dull of hearing is what the Scriptures describe it. That means you hear something. This is something my wife can attest to. You hear something, but you're not paying any attention to it. People preach the gospel. God has sent His messengers out to preach the gospel of Christ throughout the world. Many have come into this very building and heard the gospel preached, but they were dull of hearing and walked away, not paying any attention to what they had heard. Mankind come up short of hearing the Word of God unless something or someone intercedes. Adam, the first man to walk this earth, the very first one to walk this earth, turned from the Word of God, and he would not hearken to what God's warning. God said, "Do not eat of this tree, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die." Adam didn't listen. And so all mankind, women, children, old and young, follow the very same suit. I don't remember it, but I have been told that the man I grew up listening to when I was a child, a man by the name of O.C. Harris, some of you know his son, Ian, the big guy who used to show up here and sing a lot. I remember that guy when he was so little he just barely fit into a diaper. His dad was a preacher. First Missionary Baptist Church of Fair Oaks. My mom and dad would faithfully take us to church all the time, all the way up to the fact where finally Kathy and I got married. I never heard nothing. My mom would ask me to, I would ask my mom, I would say, you know, what do you want for Mother's Day? Oh, come to church with me. Oh, okay. And I'd go to church to make my mom happy. And I shared this with her after I had heard the Word of God for the first time, sitting right here in these pews. I told her, I said, "Mom, all those times, I never heard anything." Well, that's the way everyone is. That's the way every single man, every single woman that has ever walked this earth. All mankind come into this world spiritually deaf, spiritually dumb, and spiritually blind. Scriptures declare it to be dead in trespasses and sin. And all throughout Scripture we can go through and see where our Lord describes the depravity of man by death or blindness. What were the most things that our Lord healed when He walked this earth? Blind people. Deaf people, dumb, lame. But do not be misled. All things, I said this in my prayer, our Lord knows the number of every hair on our head. even if it's a wig. He knows it. He knows everything. So do not be misled about mankind turning a deaf ear to God. All things are purposed by the Lord of hosts. He who rules all that is was not sleeping when Adam sinned. He knew exactly what Adam was going to do, and he purposed it to happen. You say, well, John, how can you say that? I say, well, because the Bible declares our Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That means that God knew what was going to happen before anything was ever created. So that means God created everything to happen exactly how it has. He wasn't asleep when Adam sinned. When the day that thou eat that fruit, thou shalt surely die, is telling us that he knew Adam was going to die that day. And he knew that day was coming. Our Lord uses the words in Scripture in Ephesians 1, predestinated. Also again in Romans 8, predestinated. That means predetermined. There's a book of life that was written before the world ever was. And every single one for whom God the Father sent God the Son to spill His blood for was written in that book of life. When our Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, that means every single one that His blood was shed for shall come to Him. Amen. I'm talking about a God who deserves to be called God. Not a weak God who's waiting for you or me to do something to help Him. But one who is truly God. He wasn't waiting to see what Adam would do. He knew what he would do. And he's not waiting to see what men will do. He knows what we will do. He knows everything. God is not the author of sin, no. But he does allow it to serve his purpose. How many times in the Old Testament have we seen nations being raised up, becoming these powerful nations so that they could move in and take this nation out? That was God's purpose for that to be done. Joseph, thrown into a pit by his own brothers, and then sold. I may not get along with my brothers and sisters as well as I'd like to, but I can't imagine doing that to any of them. That was purposed by God. It was purposed so that Joseph would be a picture of Christ, bringing his people unto him, forgiving those who threw him into that pit, and showing you and I that no matter what we have done, our Lord, if He paid for our sins, they were all laid upon Him. Total forgiveness of His people. The God of glory has ruled and is ruling over all that comes to pass, right down to the slightest detail. He is Lord of all. He raises up nations and He tears them down as it serves His purpose, the purpose of the Creator. In Amos 8, verse 11, we read, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send famine in the land. Famine. I will send famine, he says. It's not a chance that it happens. It's not because the global warming. It's not because mankind is causing something to happen on the earth. God sends famine into the land. And our Lord goes on to say, He says, not a famine of bread. No, it's not going to be just a famine of bread. You're going to have plenty to eat. Nor a thirst for water. There's plenty of water in the big old river that's running right there through the land. He sends a famine of, but the hearing, the words of the Lord. Did you catch that? God sent a famine into the land of the hearing of the word of the Lord. That means there's a whole bunch of people running around and they don't hear that word. It was preached to the ones in the wilderness. The word of God was preached to them, but it profited them nothing. They heard it not. You might be sitting there today thinking to yourself, well, what are you saying, John? Does God cause men to hear and others not? I'm not saying that at all. God is saying that. Don't take my word for it. Look into God's word and see it. That's what God said. Listen to what he said in Romans 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, that guy who had all that wealth, built the pyramids of Egypt and all the stuff that we see over there in Egypt and all the glory of it. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God raised up a nation called Egypt. Great power, great wealth. Don't think that he couldn't do this with America, folks. Don't think that he couldn't do this with the United States of America. He raised them up so that he could destroy Pharaoh and his army, and that the whole world would know the power of God. And there's all kinds of lessons and messages we could come through with just from those verses of Egypt being, or Israel being delivered from Egypt. Not all men, though, have ears, do they? Not all men have ears to hear these words. In fact, to be quite honest with you, none do. Oh, we can hear with the ears of the flesh, but the spirit is dead and cannot, and in fact does not even want to hear these words. We don't want to have one who rules over us. And most will go through that door marked death, shaking their fists, saying, I will not have this one rule over me. In your bulletins today, I'd like to read an article from today's bulletin. It's a rather lengthy one. Does anybody, I hope you're not in a hurry. Pastor Tommy Robbins on the inside middle page, top left hand article. The natural heart of man is concerned only with natural, temporal things. The desire of the flesh and mind are by natural origin self-centered. Man, that sure sounds like John Reeves to me. Man is a habitual self-serving creature. He may be at times, especially when in the presence of the gospel, consciously aware of this, but he finds it impossible to change because this is his love. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4, men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's all about my little world. Or at least it used to be. Going on, Pastor Robbins writes, he may reform outwardly for a while and try to adjust his priorities or even strive to think differently. But alas, he is like a dog and its vomit, or the sow and its muck. He has not a heart for Jesus, his gospel, or his church. This is not his love. This is not his desire. He has only a desire for the vomit and the muck, as we read in 2 Peter. The only way one will ever have a heart for the things of God will be if God gives him a new heart and a new spirit. God's promise to his people is this: a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. The new heart which God gives has preeminence over the old one. Oh, yeah, the old heart is still there to aggravate and even temporarily distract us. Yeah, we have to fight that battle. However, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yeah, we battle that battle. But greater is God Almighty than the little god of this world. The new heart is one of faith, love, and commitment. The new heart embraces Christ, His gospel, and His church. This comes as natural to the new heart as embracing self and the things that are the world comes to the old heart. If we have not a new heart and the Spirit, when temptation comes, when care comes, when it's time for self-denial, then we will take the low road to fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And it will be revealed that we are yet servants of self rather than servants of God. We will be in our heart true to what our treasure is most. As it says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We do not want to have one who rules over us. When the gospel of God is revealed to the hearts of His people, the first thing we see is that we loved that darkness that we once walked in. We don't want the light of Jesus in our hearts because it shines on that darkness that we once loved. Takes the power away from us. It's my decision to come to Christ. It's my will that brings me to the Lord. No, it's not. Your will is not above God's. If so, then He is not God. Yet, you might say, well then, John, who can be saved? Scripture tells us that there is a people that God has set His love upon before the world ever was, a people that He has purposed to show His mercy unto. He calls them my people, my elect. He calls them my chosen. This is God's word, folks. This isn't John standing up here giving you some fleshly interpretation. Those for whom the Father hath given unto the Son, given to Him before the time itself, and this people, a people from every nation, every tongue, throughout time. When the day of love is at hand, the day that God has chosen, has purposed for His people, He comes to them and quickens them. He gives life. And He reveals the Son of the ever-living God to them. And they see, and they hear, and they believe, and they call upon the name of the Lord. How are you going to call upon the name of the Lord if you've never heard of the true and living God? People call on what they believe to be the Lord all the time, don't they? They think that they're coming down to the front of the aisle is calling upon the Lord. They think by doing their good works and feeding the poor is calling on the Lord. Our Lord says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Do you hear? Do you hear the word of the Lord? My question this morning is that, and it is also my title, do you hear? Look at our text here in John chapter 10, verse 23, if you would. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, the Jewish leaders, The Pharisees, who had a righteousness of their own. Look at me. I wear the cloak of righteousness, the cloak of priest. I swing the incense, as you have told me. These are all the things that God has given me to do. And look at, I do them all. Just like that young rich man who said that he had never murdered, had never done anything wrong since he was young. We talked about it in Bible study this morning. And God said, go sell everything that you have. Take everything that you have, all that you do, all your good works, all your self-righteousness, and throw it out. Give it to the poor. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? God Almighty stood in their midst and he proved it by all the miracles that he was performing. A man's hand all withered up and gone. And right before the people's eyes, it became whole. A man who had not walked since he was a child got up, picked up his bed, and walked away. Another man who had never seen the color blue before, he was blind from birth, saw his mama for the first time, or whatever relative you want to put in that place. The miracles of God were open to everybody to see. How long do you make us to doubt, they say to God Almighty. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And here's what God Almighty said back to them. I told you, verse 25, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, you didn't hear me the first time, I doubt you hear me this time, but I'm going to say it anyway. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That's the word of God. That's His word. Do you hear the word of God? Maybe there's hope for you yet. And oh, what a hope that is. Oh. Have you ever read God's word and wondered, well, why doesn't everybody else see that? Same reason you and I didn't see it until the Lord opened our eyes and our ears to hear it. Because I belong to God. Because I have belonged to Him before time began. The day of His love, I came into this building that He has provided, and I heard God Almighty. And He told me, John, sinner, you who have nothing, you who deserve my wrath, I took it all for you. I took all that you have done, and I have taken it upon myself, because I have loved you. Because He has loved you. He took everything. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and none, no, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you hear? My question to you this morning is, do you hear the word of God, not with just these ears, not from just this man who stands before you, because all I am is a sinner, just like everybody else. The difference is we happen to be saved by our Lord and Savior. We happen to be loved by the Creator of all things. A distinction between sheep and goats is made. You are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. God's chosen blood-bought children and the world around them. The word of God is clear in Romans 9:13. It says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's one of those verses I was talking about a moment ago. Have you ever wondered why the world doesn't see that? How can there be such huge buildings filled with thousands of people 3 or 4 times a day in the Sunday morning messages? And they say, God loves everybody. He's waiting for you to make your move. Come down to the front. What do they do with that verse? What do they do with God's word? They ignore it. Their ears are all plugged up. I don't want to hear that. I like a God who does love everybody and gives me the authority to make the choice. That's what the world does. They say this because they will not hear the true word of God. They would rather do something with their own hands than trust the ever-living one. Cain. What did he do? He made some kind of a stew or porridge or something out of the vegetables, out of the herbs of the ground. Their father, their daddy Adam, taught them that he had to have shedding of blood because Abel knew that you brought an animal in and killed him. Sacrifice the animal, spread the blood. Yet Cain would not listen, would he? And when God turned his back on that young man, he did exactly what you and I would do if God had turned his back on us. We would get angry. And there was gnashing of teeth. What do you mean, you? What do you mean I'm not good enough? None of us are good enough. But the Lord Jesus Christ is, fulfilling every jot, every tittle, every point of the law for us, establishing a righteousness for His people. They say this because they will not hear the true word of God. They would rather do something with their own hands rather than trust the ever-living one. They say God loves everybody and is waiting and wanting you to do this or to do that. What a weak God. What a weak God man comes up with when left to his own understanding. Look at verses 28 through 30. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now that's one who has purposed it, and it so shall come to pass. There's no ifs, there's no maybes, there's no mights. I give unto them eternal life, he says. And none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Men have been trying to cover their sins ever since Adam, sinned. He tried to cover his own nakedness with leaves, yet God showed him the only way there shall be a remission of sin is death, the shedding of the blood. These two children of God had their nakedness covered by the shedding of blood. God provided the skins of a slain animal that Adam and Eve would be covered. This was not their salvation, but a picture of it. A picture of the only blood that would satisfy the justice of God. In a short time, we're going to come to this table right before me in a table of remembrance. It is not a table that saves anyone by doing what we're going to do. Does not save. It doesn't add to or take away anything of our salvation. But it points us to the one who did save us. It points us to what He did. It reminds us that everything of our flesh is worth nothing, but what our Lord and Savior did is everything. So was the shedding of the blood for that slain animal. It covered their sins. The blood of Christ covers the sins of His people. But as men do, those after him, after Adam, would not hear. The law given, the sacrificial law, was to point away to the true and pure and sinless sacrifice. Yet men would not hear it. They would turn even to the sacrifices. They would turn even their sacrifices into an abomination of God. Are you with me in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of the he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. For your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widow, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's the natural man. We take the things of God and we will subvert it to ourselves. Can you imagine what men would do if they ever found a piece of something that they think is part of the ark? Whoa! We've discovered where the ark was! There's people out there looking for it all over the place. They really are. I actually saw an article on this sometime back where they think because the way the dirt goes like this, and then it goes like this, and it goes a ways, and it comes up down here. Never mind that it's too small for what the ark was supposed to be. It still looks like something sat there, doesn't it? People are flocking to that place to worship it. And it's not even the same size as what the ark was supposed to be. Imagine if they found a board or something. They would turn it into something to worship. This is why God tells us there shall be no likeness of the image of Christ. That hippie, that guy with the long hair that everybody pretends is Jesus. Look at the people who worship that. Look at what they did with a piece of toast. It's easy for us to laugh at now. But have any of us fallen into that same trap? Making a God of our own imagination rather than the God that is spoken of in the Word. Oh, what men will do rather than hear the truth. Folks, there is not one of us who were not in the very same camp at one time. It was not until the day of mercy and love that we too heard the gospel news, the doctrine, the teachings of Christ. In Romans 9:15, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is not of him who exercises his will. It is not of him who says, it's my will to follow Jesus. It's not of him who runneth, one who works for it. I've earned my Lord and Savior. Look at all the good things I do. No, it is of God that showeth mercy, is what the Word of God says. Do you hear the Word of God?" Turn to John chapter 2, and I'll try to bring this to a close. 2 John. That's those three small epistles right before Jude, right before Revelations. If we hear God, if our ears are open, the ears of our heart are open to the Word of God as our Lord and Savior is portrayed right here, this book, all about Him. It's only because of Him. It's only because what He has done. God Almighty is holy, folks. So holy that He cannot even look upon sin, let alone be in the presence of it. He cannot look upon us unless we have a mediator, one who has gone between us and Him. All blessings come to us because of Christ and through Christ. No one comes unto the Father but by me, saith the Lord. The question is, do you hear it? Not with just the ears of the flesh, but do you hear it with the heart? Does the Father and does the Son and does the Spirit abide in you? Well, the answer is very simple. Look at verse 9 through 11. 2 John, verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." You want to go down here to the church down here because it's real big? Because they have a band instead of a recording like us? Or because they help the poor in ways that we don't hear and rescue? Well, they don't preach about the sovereign God that we read about in scriptures. And if you worship with them, then you're just as evil as they are. Do you hear God's word? God humbled himself and became a man. Do you hear? His name shall be called Jesus. Do you hear? The sinless blood of the Son of God shall purge, wash away the sins of his people. Do you hear? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus the Lord. Do you hear? I have loved you with an everlasting love, saith the Lord. Do you hear? The grave could not hold him. He lives ever to make intercession for those for whom he died. Do you hear? 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, his people, his chosen, his predestinated. He who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him." Do you hear the word of God? Our Lord said this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear? We've been doing a series of messages from 1 Timothy. Turn over there, if you would, please. 1 Timothy. We've been going through and expounding from Scripture the things that are of Christ. And we've come to verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," Paul says. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." And what I want you to hear is this. "Now unto the King eternal." Our Lord and Savior is King eternal. He's not going to go away tomorrow. He's here forever. And he has chosen a people unto himself, God's children, to be with him forever. And by his mercy and grace, he has called us out of that darkness that all mankind has walked in. And only because of his love and grace do we hear the word of God. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." All the glory goes to our Savior. You want to go to one of these other churches, the first thing I ask you to listen for is, do they glorify the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or do they glorify men? That's how you tell the difference between one of God's preachers. If they weren't sent of God, they'll stand up there and they'll glorify what men do. True man of God will give God the glory for everything, including the hairs on our head. Right, Rick? Stand if you would.